Fantastic. Welcome if this is your first time. I know I can just, not everyone's it. Some first time. If you're first time here, welcome. You're joining us today for part two of a talk. I started a talk last week, and the title of the talk was this: One Prayer Can Change Your Life. That was the title of the talk we had last week. One Prayer Can Change Your Life. We started it last week. We're going to continue it this week. Amazing claim, an amazing topic to look at. One prayer can change your life. Let's pray and ask that God would help us this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us, that you care for us, that you have this morning things to say to us and things to change in our lives. So Lord, we open ourselves to you and ask, Jesus, would you walk through your church today? Would you come and visit us, that we would encounter your grace, that we would hear your word, and that we would be transformed on the inside. Today, Jesus, we need you. Come, draw close to every one of us. Amen. Last week, just by way of recap, we looked at a pivotal moment in the life of a character in the Bible called King Solomon. And we saw that there was a watershed moment. There was a moment in his life, it was an important moment, because it had reverberations for the rest of his life. And that's what turns one of the many moments in our lives into important ones. It's the consequences that follow. There are important decisions and events that may seem small at the time, but result in significant changes in our lives over the years that follow. And there was a moment for Solomon where he faced a choice. And at that moment, he prayed. And what he prayed was very important, because he set his life on a course that was different. And that's what makes his prayer significant for us today. Because all of us want to be blessed by God and used by God. And that's what happened to Solomon as a result of this prayer. He could have prayed many different things, but he prayed something that had massive implications. Before he prayed, he was walking with God. He built the temple for God, as God had instructed, and he was blessed by God. But after he prayed, a whole series of amazing things happened. Firstly, he rose to become the greatest king at that time. In Nehemiah 13:26, we read, it says, among the nations, there was no king like Solomon. Incredible. God took him as a result of his prayers and raised him on the world stage to be a king like no other. Then God gave him incredible wisdom. Queen of Sheba famously visited Solomon, a massive journey of 1,500 miles. And she came in 1 Kings 10. She came to Solomon and talked with him about all she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. God had given Solomon amazing wisdom. What an incredible thing. Then God gave him greater material blessing than anyone else. We read in 1 Kings 10, Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. Then he had revelation from God. He wrote 3 books of the Bible. The book of Proverbs, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, he wrote the book of A Song of Songs. God gave him spiritual revelation to actually write the words of Scripture as the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he wrote down the very words of God. What a privilege. Incredible. Finally, he had greater military strength than the other kings of Israel. 1 King 10, we read this: Solomon accumulated chariots and horses. He had 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horses. What an army. And he kept them in special chariot cities and also in Jerusalem. Solomon was enabled to do all that God had asked him to do. And all these things flowed from the prayer. We saw last week the importance of praying the right prayer was key for Solomon. We heard from Elaine, we heard from NK, we heard from Noel last week, how important it was praying the right prayer at times of crisis or opportunity or challenge. This week I've asked Olu to come and to share with us how God has used prayer to shape her life at this time. I'll give Olu a warm round of applause. God bless you. Come on down.
Praise the Lord. Last week, I was just encouraged by Paul's teaching, and also, you know, building on Nick's teaching about the importance of the word in our lives. And praying the right prayer, I have learned, really is very important, very vital. And for me, it's particularly about the prayer of relinquishment, the prayer of surrender to God, and, you know, how that is so important in turning our lives around. And just sharing from my own personal experience, and sometime experiences of being baffled by God, and learning so many things that actually, for those whom God has given the greatest blessing, He expects the greatest sacrifices from them. And in my own walk with God, and, you know, after He called me from management consultancy to the world of international development in sub-Saharan Africa, which I quite resisted for a while because I'd had my life all mapped out. And I was doing very well, and I felt it was God that had the problem, not me. So He could send somebody else. And eventually He got me, as He does, because it just makes life so impossible. And when He loves us, He works in such a way with loving kindness, but sometimes with the stick as well, just to put us back in His plan A for our lives. And I remember even after the vision was given to me, and it was very difficult, and I realized it was extremely challenging because it meant giving up everything I'd had to pursue this vision. And most times I felt like Noah building the ark, because very few people could actually understand. I tried, I think, being somebody who is so used to leading organizations, I found it very difficult to depend on God. And I had commitment issues with God, and I had trust issues with God. And I prayed, I agonized many times, especially at acute points of the journey, and fasted 21 days, 7 days, 3 days, 1 day, and read the word more diligently, but all without avail. So I felt I was doing the right things and praying all the time, but then I realized I wasn't actually praying the right prayers. And one thing also I learned, you know, with praying, you know, is the faith thing. And faith, you know, moves mountains, as we know. But what I learned as well is, you know, it's important to pray with faith, but we must also pray with trusting in God. And that's actually surrendering all to Him when we pray, because God will never violate our self-will. And until we actually surrender ourselves to Him and pray in accordance to His will. And I found that when I stopped praying my own prayers, and actually started asking God what His priorities were and consulting Him about His timing for what steps to take, I found that that started to make a difference. And so I learned the difference between faith and trust. And then my question was, because a lot of people say have faith and pray, how does one have one's faith increased? And I learned that we can only do that by looking in the eyes of God and resting in God and letting the Holy Spirit do the work through us as we pray in accordance to His will, by laying down ourselves, our souls, our own wills, and having that childlike dependency on Him to do what He wants to do through us and with us. And an example of praying the right prayer that I had recently was, gradually coming to the realization of the importance of praying the right prayers, I went to an event at the House of Commons. By this time, I was so weary anyway, a weary soldier for God. And I went, and it was a World Bank event, and I had gone prepared with two questions to ask. And when it got to question time and the World Bank President for Africa had spoken and everyone, and I started praying inside of me quietly, God, which of these two questions do I ask? I wasn't sure. I mean, in the past, I wouldn't have asked God. I would just have asked my own questions because I'm a consultant. You know, I know what's wrong with Africa. But this time I prayed, and I prayed to God. I kept praying. You know, there was just this urge to pray. And eventually, I asked one question. And that question is turning out to be changing my life in so many ways. People came to me afterwards and said, that was an amazing question. That is so pertinent to what should be on the international development agenda. As a result, partnerships are now emerging, you know, with organizations I could never, ever dream of partnering with. And just from that one question, you know, it's beginning to shape my life. And, you know, the struggles I was having and all the striving and things, and just by, you know, relinquishing all to God and saying, well, you do it your own way. And, you know, tell me what your priorities are. You know, show me how to pray. What should I pray for? What is your need? And that is working for me. And it's giving me more rest, you know. So although there's still some challenges, and it's quite a challenging terrain of public sector reform, but I'm entering into God's rest. And now when I finish praying, you know, there's a song and I'll sing just to make sure I keep doing that, you know, and I just like to sing it, you know. And it says, after I've done all of these things, I just stand. I stand on God's promise. I stand on His word. After I've done all of these things, I just stand. I put my hand in the hands of the Lord, who's got my master plan. I put my hands in the hands of my God, who's got my master plan, and stand.
Thank you very much. Ollie, thank you. Fantastic. What an encouragement to us all, whatever your circumstances. What a fantastic, amazing encouragement. And this week, we looked last week at that special prayer that Solomon prayed, that prayer that I was showing how was the right prayer to pray at that point. We're going to look at another prayer. Solomon prayed two prayers. Obviously, he prayed loads of prayers, but there were two prayers that are recorded in Scripture that were very significant. And so today we're going to look at the second prayer, which is in 2 Chronicles 6. And it was this prayer was on the occasion of the dedication of the temple. So this prayer was at the time where Solomon built the temple and he was dedicating the temple to God. He got up in front of the people and he prayed. And I've asked Emma to come and read the prayer. It's a paraphrase. It's a long prayer. I've asked her to read a paraphrase.
2 Chronicles 6:14-42. Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or on earth. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it. Now, Lord, the God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him. And now, Lord, the God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David come true. But will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? Yet, Lord my God, give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence. May your eyes be open toward this temple day and night. May you hear the prayer your servant prays toward this place. hear from heaven, and when you hear, forgive. When anyone wrongs their neighbor, then hear from heaven and act. When your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave to them and their ancestors. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel. When famine or plague comes to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when enemies besiege them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, forgive and deal with everyone according to all they do. As for the foreigner, when they come and pray toward this temple, then hear from heaven. When your people go to war against their enemies, then hear from heaven their prayer and their plea. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, if they turn back to you and pray, forgive your people. Now, my God, may your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, Lord God, and come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests, Lord God, be clothed with salvation. May your faithful people rejoice in your goodness. Lord God, do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised to David, your servant.
Thank you. This was the prayer that Solomon prayed at the dedication of the temple. So Solomon had built the temple according to God's instructions. He made a special platform, and so people could see and hear him pray. He made this platform and he knelt down, lifted his hands, and he prayed this prayer that Emma's read out to us. And we're going to look at it today because it's a very important prayer. When he prayed this prayer, as soon as he'd finished, God answered immediately, and God answered very powerfully and God very dramatically. It could not be more dramatic. Where, as he finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven, consumed the offering on the altar, and God's presence so filled the temple that the priest couldn't even stand up or go in there. It couldn't have been a more dramatic answer to a prayer. We're going to look in detail a little bit this morning as we're at this prayer. What can we learn? How can we learn to pray better from Solomon's prayer? Starting in verse 14, he starts off his prayer and he says, Lord, the God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven and earth who keep your covenant of love. And there's no better way for us to start praying than actually to start with God himself. See, so often when I start praying, I forget about God and I think about me. And my prayers start like this, Lord, forgive me because I'm so aware of my sin. Or Lord, help me because I'm in such a pickle and I need God's help to get me out. Or Lord, bless me because I'm so aware of my needs and I long for God's help. I start out as the subject of my prayers so often. It's amazing, actually, when I think about my prayers, how the subject of my prayers is me so much. Now, you see, Solomon starts his prayers with God. The beginning of Solomon's prayers are about God. It's about who he is. He declares to God, you are the only living God. He says, you are the God who keeps his love towards his people. His prayers start out with an appreciation. God, you are a great God. And the reason why it's so important is when we start to pray by praying about God himself, it puts God right at the center of my thoughts. It puts God right at the center of my heart. It puts God right at the center of my prayers. Of course, in the New Testament, when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, the Lord's Prayer, it starts with, Our Father. Before we start praying about forgiving our sins or praying for our needs or praying for deliverance from the evil one, the first thing is it's about God. We pray, first of all, recognizing, God, you are my heavenly Father. Solomon started his prayers in sight of the greatness and the love and the person of God. So much better than starting my prayers with me. So much better than starting with things from my perspective. If I start praying from my perspective, I'm starting from my woe, my lack, my sin, my need. But actually, starting from God's perspective, it's a whole different ballpark. Second, he remembers in verse 15, he says this, God, you've kept your promise to your servant David, and your mouth you've promised, and with your hand you'll fulfill it. He remembers, as soon as he starts praying and magnifying God, he remembers, God, you have been faithful. He starts thanking God. He starts blessing God because, God, you've done these things in the past. If we're going to go on and ask God for anything, there's no better place than remembering what God has done in the past. Because our faith rises. Ollie was talking about faith. And as we say, God, you've done it before, our faith starts to rise as we remember, God, look what you've done in the past. So as I'm thinking about the challenges that face me, as I think about the opportunities or the difficulties or the problems that face me, I'm coming from a position of remembering, God, what you have done in the past has been so wonderful. Starting with thanking him for the past helps me pray for the present. Remembering what God's done lifts my faith. And faith, of course, is crucial. James 5:15 says the prayers offered in faith will be effective. Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith rises as we remember that God has answered in the past. I so easily forget. When I come to pray, I'm so aware of the situation, I'm so aware of my need or the difficulty or whatever it is, that I forget what God has done in the past, and I'm just focusing and concentrating on the thing, the trial, the difficulty, not remembering, God, you've done such wonderful things in the past, in my life and in the lives of others. I've started, when I'm praying, I've started quoting to myself Psalm 100 verse 4. I love this verse. Psalm 100 verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise. I sort of preach to myself as I start my praying. Just because I've got, actually, as I start praying, starting from a position of God and thankfulness means that I can come, as Solomon did, to pray for a whole series of different things, but it's from a different position. It's not from a position of, God, this is terrible. God, would you get me out of here? This is just so awful. Or a position of, God, I feel such a wretched sinner, and I've done all these. Actually, I'm starting from a position of God and who he is, and being thankful for all God's done in the past. And then he goes on in verse 16, he reminds God of his promises. Look what it says in 16. Lord, the God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him. Verse 17. Now, Lord God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David comes true. He reminds God of the things yet to be fulfilled. An aspect of prayer, of course, is knowing the promises of God. And bringing these promises before God as we pray. Not, of course, God that forgets his promises, or that we can in some way pin him down. Of course not. But it's powerful as we know the promises of God in the Bible, and then bring them before him as we pray. Nick's been encouraging us as we're reading the Bible. One of the aspects of reading the Bible is that we would know and understand and internalize the promises of God. Apostle Peter reminds us in 2 Peter 1:4, God has given us his very great and precious promises. God's given us these promises. They're written down in Scripture for us, so that through them we may participate in the divine nature. What an incredible revelation Peter's got. Somehow, through the promises of God, it helps us actually connect with the divine nature, with God himself. What an amazing thing. What an amazing revelation, Peter, understand. And it will deliver and help me to escape from the evil that there is around me in the world and in my heart. But to know them, I've got to if I'm going to benefit from them, I've got to know them. I met a man of God once who told me that there were 8,000, roughly about 8,000 promises in the Bible. And he had learnt every single one by heart. And his ministry was that God had given this incredible ministry, that as he would, God had given him a prophetic ministry. And so when he would come up to someone, he would allow the Holy Spirit to highlight some of those 8,000 verses and then prophesy them over someone's life as relevant to them, as he felt the Holy Spirit led him. I thought, well, that's quite amazing, isn't it? What an amazing thing. But see, Solomon prayed that God, may what you've said come about. God, you said it about David. May it come about. He was bringing God's words before him. Powerful, powerful prayer to pray. And then notice in verse 18, he goes back into the very presence of God as he's praying. He says this, but will God really dwell on earth with humans? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. See, even throughout his prayer, his eyes go back to heaven. His heart goes back to heaven. It's so easy as I'm praying to actually get bogged down in what's happening around me. It's so easy when I'm praying to think, oh, this is so terrible. What's happening is so difficult. What's happening is so awful. What's happening is so tragic. And actually, I'm looking at things from Earth's perspective, from my perspective. And what Solomon does is he lifts his eyes back to heaven and says, God, you're such a big God. Of course you can't live in this temple. Because he's got a vision of God in his greatness and goodness. His eyes go back to heaven. And as I'm praying, as we're praying, as we feel ourselves getting hemmed in by our need, hemmed in by this terrific challenges we face, what I need to do is lift my eyes to heaven again and say, God, but you are a great God, but you're far bigger than this situation. You're far bigger than the things that I face in my life. Solomon was encouraging himself in the Lord, as David, his father, so often did. See, if I pray out of a sense of the greatness of God, it's so much better than praying out of a sense of the greatness of my need. Often I find myself praying because my need is so great, there's nowhere else to go. God, help me. And yet Solomon prayed out of the revelation and understanding and experience of God, you're a great God. You're the God of the whole earth. During our times of prayer, we can go back to appreciating the greatness and the goodness of God. Then we see things differently. Do you ever wonder how my life, my challenges, my struggles must look from heaven's perspective? As God looks down on my life, as God looks down on your life, and what seems to you like a terrific struggle, what seems to you like no way out, as God looks down from heaven, how do you think he sees that situation? Probably a bit different from how you see it. And as we lift our eyes to heaven, we get a glimpse of how God sees things. It changes my perspective and it helps me to pray a different way. It helps me to pray the right prayer. I want us to look this morning because I believe Solomon's pattern of prayer has something in us to help us pray better. We've all got our L plates on this morning. We're all learning to pray better. And I believe Solomon would help us this morning in that journey. See, then he moves on in verse 19, and he says this, Lord God, give attention to your servant's prayer. Hear the cry that your servant is praying. May your eyes be open. May you hear the prayer. Hear from heaven. When you hear, forgive. See, Solomon starts to bring his situation before God, and he starts to ask for a whole series of things. Solomon starts to ask. He's not slow in asking. Solomon isn't someone holding back. He asks, and he asks big. And he asks the same, if you notice, very interesting, he asks the same thing. He doesn't just sort of summarize it and give a little synopsis and say, God, could you just bless this situation? Amen. Actually starts to ask again and again. He says, give attention, hear the cry, may your eyes be open, hear the supplication, hear from heaven. He's saying, God, will you hear? Please, God, God. His heart's starting to be moved as he's starting to cry to God. God, would you hear? His emotions are engaging with his prayer. It isn't a clinical, God, would you please get me out of the situation? What he's doing is he's something starting to stir in his heart and he's crying out to God. God, would you hear my prayer? He doesn't pray it once. He prays it more than once. I love James 4 verse 2. James 4 verse 2 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Solomon's not afraid to ask God. He's not afraid. And he's not afraid to ask again and again and again. Someone once totted up the verses in the New Testament. A third of the teaching about prayer is about persevering prayer. About prayer and not giving up. About asking and asking again. And asking and asking again. There's something in prayer which involves us asking. Sometimes in God's mercy and incredible wisdom, I pray and instantly something changes. Other times, there's times where I pray and nothing seems to happen. And God wants me, as Solomon, to come back and pray and to ask and to ask and to ask, God, would you come and intervene in this situation? But then is this prayer that we're looking at today. He gets into the meat of the prayer, starting in verse, which verse is it now? Verse 22. It's the main part of his prayer. What he does is he brings the details of his life before God. It starts in verse 20. It's a big passage there. As the king, God had given him responsibility for the nation of Israel, for all the people. He had a big responsibility. God had said, this is your responsibility for these people. And so when he prays over his responsibility. What he doesn't pray is, God, would you bless my kingdom, bless my people, amen. He doesn't. Actually, his responsibility is great. And so he translates that responsibility into praying through the details of that responsibility. He starts to pray through the details of his life. He doesn't just pray a synopsis and a summary. Reminds me of a child praying. 3-year-old child. God bless mummy, God bless daddy, amen. That's great for a 3-year-old. But as we grow up, God's expecting us to kind of see the details and actually pray through the different aspects of our responsibility. In your life, God's given you different responsibility. Work responsibility, family responsibility, church responsibility. God's given you responsibility. And we're going to see here, Solomon prayed through. He covered the bases. It wasn't a kind of magic wand prayer of God bless this lot. He went into the detail of praying through his responsibilities. We have lives of, we have family, friends, work, church, neighbors. General prayers are not enough. General prayers are not enough. God is looking for us to bring the details of our life before him and to cry to him. Look what happens here in verse 22. He starts praying for a situation where someone's wronged. In verse 22, so when anyone wrongs their neighbor, verse 23, hear from heaven and act. So he's praying for a situation where someone is wronged. Then in verse 24, a situation where they've been defeated. He says this, when your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy, verse 25, hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel. So when there's been a situation where things haven't worked out, he's praying into that situation. Verse 26, he's praying for a situation where things that he was that were hoping to work didn't work. When the heavens are shut up and there's no rain. Verse 27, hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people. He prays for a situation where the people fail. Verse 28, when famine or plague comes to the land, blight, mildew, locusts, grasshoppers, enemies besiege, whatever disaster may become. Verse 30, forgive and deal everyone according to all they do. Then he prays for something that happens in the future. He says, as for the foreigner, when they come and pray in the temple, then hear from heaven. Then he prays for what may become a crisis. Verse 34, when your people go to war against their enemies, then verse 35, hear from heaven their prayer and their plea and uphold their cause. Then he prays for when they might have sinned. When they sin against you, for there's no one who doesn't sin. Verse 38, if they turn back to you and pray. Verse 39, hear their prayer and forgive your people. You see, what he's doing is he's praying through the details. It's not just some broad brush prayer. He's spending time praying through. And I believe God wants us in our times of prayer to bring the details of our lives before him, to bring them, to lay them out and say, God, in this situation, I'm crying to you. I'm asking, would you move? In this situation here, God, please. You see, what's happening in his prayer? He started his prayer focused on God himself. Then he moved into thanking God for who he is and what he'd done. And then he started to remind God, God, you have promised, you have said. And then he starts to ask and go on asking, God, would you hear? God, would you act? God, would you hear my cry? And then he brings the details of his life and his responsibility before God and prays through and prays through and prays through. You may have heard this expression, praying through a situation. What it means is praying and praying through the details, covering the bases. God, in this situation, I pray for the relationships. I pray for your working. I pray for your will to be done. I pray for your kingdom to come. We're praying through the details of our lives. It's what Solomon did. And then finally, he says this in verse 41. He asks God to accept what's been dedicated to him and fill it with his presence. In verse 31, now arise, Lord God, and come to your resting place. This whole prayer is actually a prayer of dedication. This whole prayer is actually a prayer of him wanting to bring this temple that had made and saying, God, would you now come? Would you take this? Would you fill this place? Would you come by your presence? And immediately, when he finishes his prayer, he's on this, if you imagine this sort of raised area, he made this stage. He's there, he's knelt in humility before the people, in humility before God. He's knelt there, the king, kneeling before the people. He's kneeling before God, his hands raised to heaven. And when he utters the last words of his prayer, there's a massive crack and fire falls down from heaven, down to the offering, burns up the offering, and the glory of God fills the temple and the priests can't stand up in there. What an amazing sight. No wonder the people of Israel at that time were, whoa, and this is just an amazing thing to see. He prayed and the answer was dramatic and it was immediate. Now, not all the things we pray to God, of course, are dramatic and immediate. And in Solomon's life, we saw last week, he had learned to pray. There's evidence that Nathan the prophet had taught him to pray as he grew up. Whatever the two prayers that we see that Solomon prayed in public, the two prayers, prayer of dedication and the second prayer, we looked at last week, both prayers God answers immediately and very dramatically. And so God's putting a stamp on these prayers and saying, look at these prayers. Look at the way my servant Solomon is praying. This is a pattern. It's a pattern to help us learn to pray. We saw last week in Romans how Paul was saying to the Roman church, look, in the Old Testament, it's written that you could be taught. These things are written that you could learn. And so I believe that God wants us today to take this pattern, not as something that's a rote, but as something which is an inspiration to my prayers. I feel I need a jolt. So often my prayers are me, 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 God, me, rather than God. God, you, you, you. And then God, could you come in my circumstances and situation and responsibility? Look how he finishes. It says this in 2 Chronicles 7, 1 and 2. It says, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. The glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. Wow. God answers. Now, the temple of Solomon is no longer there. You go to Jerusalem, I've been to Jerusalem, you go and look on the Temple Mount, and it isn't there. There isn't a temple of Solomon there anymore. In the New Testament, Paul says this. Paul talks about the church of Jesus, us as the church, being the living temple of God. He talks about us together. Each one, you're a stone, you're a living stone, and you're connected to the person next to you. We're built together into being this spiritual house, which is the house of God, the temple of God. But also, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that you, as an individual, that you as an individual believer, as an individual Christian, you, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the temple. So there's two, we are the temple together, but also individually, I am a temple of God. You are the temple of God, that God's Holy Spirit could fill it. Now, what did Solomon do in this prayer is he came and the whole prayer was a prayer of dedication of the temple, saying, God, here it is. Would you fill it? Would you use it? And you see, the punchline of this morning is actually the temple is no more. And the punchline of his prayer is, now you're the temple. Now I'm the temple. And so I come and I say, God, here is your temple. Here I am. And as Solomon dedicated, consecrated, offered that building to God and said, God, now will you come and fill this? Now will you come and use this? That you and I can take our temples, can take yourself, your very person, and say, God, here I am. Here I am. I am now your temple. Would you come and would you fill? And would you use? And would you put your presence inside this temple? And we can offer ourselves and we can dedicate ourselves. As Solomon dedicated the temple, we can dedicate ourselves to God and what he would want to do through us. Now, the amazing thing was, of course, that Solomon's temple was just bricks. Well, not bricks, it was stones. Just stones and material and gold and things like that. It was just a place. It was just a box. And God amazingly came with his presence and power and filled that place. And sometimes one of the analogies of our lives is we're just like clay vessels. We're just, you know, we're aware of our faults and our frailties and our humanity. But actually the wonderful, amazing miracle is that today I can offer through the blood of Jesus, through the fact that his blood cleanses me from every sin, I can take this temple and I can say, God, I offer it to you. I dedicate it to you. Not that it's perfect. Not that it's that everything in it is absolutely in order. But as I am, I come to you just trusting in Jesus. Just trusting in his righteousness. Just trusting the fact that he enables me to offer myself today. And we can say, God, on that basis, would you take this weak temple? And would you fill it with your presence? Would you use this temple for your glory? Would you come and take this temple for yourself? Let's stand together. Let's stand in God's presence together. And let's just close our eyes. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful God. Father, thank you for Solomon's prayer. This incredible time where he poured out his heart towards you. Would you help us to learn to pray better? God, we want to ask, Lord, we confess, we've got L plates on, we're learning. God, teach us to pray. Could we pray prayers that are powerful and effective? Oh God, could we have testimony week by week of answered prayer, Lord, as you're teaching us to pray according to your purposes and ways? And Lord, just as Solomon offered that building to you and you came and filled it, Lord, today, in humility, Lord, we just want to offer ourselves to you, Lord. Thank you that, Lord, we're clothed this morning in the righteousness of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, our garments that are washed whiter than snow in the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we know we could not dare to offer ourselves on our basis of our own merit. We're simply coming today as we are, trusting in the work of Jesus on the cross, trusting in your cleansing work. And Lord, we've got no other basis to come before you. But Lord, we just want to offer ourselves in humility today. Lord, as what you say is your temple. Individually, together, Lord, we offer ourselves to you. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just going to be quiet for a moment. And whatever prayer you feel appropriate between you and God, just as you feel stirred to put this into words, however you want to put it into words. If what we've said this morning has touched your heart, and there's any sense of, God, I just want to offer myself to you in a fresh way, could you articulate that back to your Heavenly Father?